Reading this morning will be from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints.
That reading that we just had from Proverbs chapter 2 is, I know, something that's in the heart of all Christian fathers, desiring to impart to their children the wisdom of the Lord, to guide them in the way that will help them to one day get to heaven. That's what it's all about, getting our children to the next place. It's a struggle, though, isn't it? Our work as fathers is not an easy work. It's a challenging work. We can often look back in our lives and think about the many things we would do differently. But there's so much that we learn. There's so much that we can become and be with God's help. And serving God as a father, in the role of a father, is a privilege and a blessing. And we are thankful to God for fathers here this morning who have that disposition of heart and mind. You're a blessing to your families, to your children, in particular as a father, because God, through His Word, leads us by specific instructions relating to fatherhood, but also by example. We have many examples of men who, in the Scriptures, were fathers, whose lives served as something that their children could look back on and could learn from and could benefit from, that would be a strength to them and help them in their own lives. And in fact, when we look at these men studying their examples, we ourselves can be strengthened, can be built up in the faith as Christians, but as fathers, looking at their godly examples will help us greatly. We think about three men this morning that we're going to focus on. Men from the Old Testament that we're going to examine as we think about fathers and see the valuable lessons that we can learn from their lives that will help us to help our own children get to heaven and be the fathers that God wants us to be. We thank God for these instructive examples and the lives that these men lived. All of the fathers who have gone before us were men of flesh like we are. They all had their strengths. They all had their weaknesses. They had high mountains that they were on top of at points in their lives. They had low valleys that they crossed through as well. That's life. That's living in the flesh as a human being. And yet we can see by their lives perseverance. They kept going. They didn't give up. And the Bible teaches us that's the path of those who will one day be with God forever. We thank God for these men, for their role as fathers, and for what we can learn from them. The first one we're going to talk about this morning is Noah. We read about him in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6, we read of Noah and how he stood out from his world. You can look at Noah, and Noah is like a white speck on a black sheet of paper. Noah stood out because his life was a holy life. Noah chose to live a life in submission to God's will. Noah had qualities that stand out and are focused on in Scripture that we can learn from and imitate. Noah, we're told in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 9, was a just man, perfect in his generation, Noah walked with God. In chapter 7 and verse 1, we read that Noah is described as a man who is righteous. Here is a man who stood out. When it says that Noah was perfect in his generation, that might give someone the wrong impression that, well, I could never measure up to Noah because I make mistakes. Noah did too. The idea for Noah is that he was a man who, in his generation, was faithful to walk with God as opposed to those around him. Perfect in his generation. Similar terminology is used to describe the life of the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Those individuals serve God, and we're told concerning them that they were blameless before the Lord. They kept God's will faithfully. When they stumbled, because everyone does, they would correct that and resume their walk with God. Noah was a man that was just, faithful in his living before God. When it says he walked with God, that's exactly what it's talking about. He knew, because God communicated it to him, what God wanted him to do, how he should live his life. And Noah focused on doing just that. We don't have a record of the law under the patriarchs, but what we learn about that law, we see lived out in the lives of these people who conformed to holy living. And Noah was that kind of a person. He was faithful to do God's will. When you see Noah in the scriptures, you see a man who heard and lived God's will in his life. And then when God began to give him specific instructions, he did exactly what God said to do. He didn't alter God's will. He didn't change things. He didn't add to or subtract from what God said. He just did what God said. Because he understood God is God, and I must faithfully serve him. When we read about that aspect of Noah's life, we find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, after God had given all the specific details of the construction of the ark and what Noah was to do, we're told, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah was faithful to do precisely what God expected of him. You know, the Old Testament is only one place where we read about Noah and his life. You turn to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find words there pertaining to this righteous man as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 7 specifically, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So God tells Noah what's going to happen. Noah doesn't see any evidence of this. He doesn't see anything looking like trouble is coming, dark clouds on the horizon, anything that would indicate catastrophe is coming, the whole world is going to be destroyed. But he believes that what God said is going to take place, and moving, it says, with godly fear, he begins the process of constructing this ark. He does so, how? By faith. Noah heard and believed in what God said. Noah obeyed the commands of God and fulfilled them in his daily living. He's a righteous man. What Noah accomplished is a beautiful thing to behold, and that is, he accomplished the salvation of his family. His wife was on board that boat with him. His three sons were there as well, and their three wives. He saved his family. That's an accomplishment. It's a wonderful thing. Fathers here this morning are working at that process as well, teaching our children, trying to be examples to our children, giving them guidance, and we don't stop, do we? We keep on throughout their lives. We're going to continue to guide them, continue to lead them, continue to point them in the right direction, as Noah did. He accomplished the salvation of his family. There's some great lessons we can learn from the life of this man. We can, no matter what is happening around us, faithfully follow the Lord even when others forsake him. Noah lived in a world of complete wickedness. The world was so corrupt, God destroyed it. And yet, this man did not live like the world. Without a doubt, he would have felt pressures. Everyone does in every generation. But think about how intense they must have been if it's only you and your family. And everyone else is living so horribly that they're lost. Think of Noah's kin. Brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts. All the relatives of Noah. Think of what he faced when he was building this ark. And what people would have thought of that. And his message that he would have been telling people, urging them to repent. God in every generation sends a message to people who are in danger of judgment. He did to the pagan nation of Assyria when he sent Jonah to Nineveh. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They didn't listen. But he was able to be faithful to God in the midst of a corrupt world, and so can we. We can be an example to our families as fathers of what it means to live right before the Lord, even though others are making different decisions. And we can show them how they must live, require that of them, help them in that walk, and help to save their souls. We can lead our families through this dark world to the brightness of salvation on the other side, where the Lord's presence we will be in for all eternity. But let's think about a second person this morning. The man Abraham. Abraham, of course, is known for his tremendous faith. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 16, we read about, as Paul talks about Abraham here, we read of those, he says, who are of the faith of Abraham. He's talking about people like Abraham. They have in their hearts what Abraham had. Those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham wasn't just a father of people like Paul, who was a Jew and could trace his lineage back. But Abraham is a father of all nations, in the sense that people who have this belief, this faith in their heart to live like this man lived, they walk in his footsteps and he's like a father to them. What is our Father Abraham teach us about faith? Many things. But in particular, we read in James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, that Abraham teaches us what a living faith is, as opposed to a dead faith. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. See, Abraham shows us, yes, it's about believing in what God says, trusting in his promises, but he said it's also about doing exactly what God tells you to do so that you can receive those promises. And Abraham's life was full of examples where he showed his faith by what he did. Imagine a man who he goes with his family, his father, Terah, leaves the homeland of Ur, which is in modern-day Iraq, travels some 500 miles to Haran, and they settle down there. His father dies there. God speaks to Abraham, who's about 75 years old. He says, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to give you as an inheritance. And Abraham makes about a 400-mile journey down to the land of Canaan. He's trusting in what God is telling him, believing in the promises. Okay, you're going to do this. God is telling him all that he is going to do. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 shows us that Abraham believed that God was going to give him a new home. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, out to the place that he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. A heart full of faith, God says, all right, let's do this. And they go. New place, new neighbors, a new life. And Abraham believes and he goes. They go to this new land. And while he is there, Abraham is told by God. And God, of course, had explained things to him about what's going to happen. And in chapter 15, in Genesis chapter 15, you know, Abraham had said to God, Lord, I don't have any children. And you've made a promise to me. The heir of my household is my servant. God says, you trust in me. I will do what I said. So there in Genesis chapter 15 at verse 6, 5 and 6 says, and he brought him outside. God brought Abram outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And here's the verse that James would quote later. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5, has a son that is born to him. A son that he had with his wife, Sarah. And how old is Abraham when this son is born? 100 years old. With God, all things are possible. This man had to have faith that what God told him would surely come to pass. From age 75 to age 100, a quarter of a decade passes, then God fulfills his word. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord, trusting in him, believing in his promises. The Lord does not fail us. He does not forsake us. He does not forget what he said. He does not renege on his promises. God is always faithful. And Abraham believed God with all of his heart. God believed not only, or Abraham believed not only that God would keep his promise regarding a son in providing that son through whom all the nations would be blessed, but he also believed that God would provide a sacrifice, because God told Abraham, take this son now that you have born, that has been given to you, I bless you with, and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham would have to kill his son. So he makes the trip. He gets the destination. Isaac says to him, Father, we've got the wood and we've got the supplies. Where's the offering? And Abraham says, my son, the Lord, he'll provide the offering. What we learn later on is what Abraham was thinking as all of this was unfolding, as he was leading his only son of promise to the place where he was going to offer him. He was going to kill his son. What was he thinking? In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, we're told, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. It's hard to imagine if you were a father to, you already have made up in your mind, you know what you're going to do, and you're heading on your way to do that. So when it says he received him from the dead in a symbolic sense, his son was as good as dead in his own heart. He'd already made that sacrifice. Even in the context here, it says he offered his son. He had done it in his heart. Here is a man whose faith led him to believe in God and to do all that God said, even would it involve taking the life of his son. When God tests us today, we need to have this kind of faith of Abraham, to believe somehow God's going to work it out. We don't always understand why things happen in life, but we know the nature of our God. We know the promises of our God, and therefore we can believe with certainty that our good God is going to lead us through the difficult days of life to the place where all of those are gone forever, and we are with Him. Abraham was a man with living faith who had that faith and had the works that demonstrated that faith and made it complete, a saving faith. But it's interesting because Abraham, like all men, like all fathers, was a father who was not perfect in that he did not live a life free from sin. He did. There were times when he lied and deceived. He was in a tough situation. He had gone down to Egypt on one occasion. Famine had risen up. And he was afraid that when they saw his beautiful wife, they would just kill him and take her. So what he did was communicate with Sarah, and you tell them that you're my sister. It was a half-truth, but it was an intent to deceive, to lead them to believe she's only my sister, she's not my wife, because he's afraid for his life. He practiced deception. It's never right to do such things. Never right to deceive, to practice deceit, to tell lies of any sort. We talk about little white ones. There's no such thing. There's no innocent, harmless lies. But the flaws of human nature were possessed by great men of the past, and they are possessed by men today. We all struggle with various things. However, through faith and continued walking with God, we overcome all the obstacles that Satan brings our way. And it's impossible for us as fathers to be fathers without sin. Therefore, we have to be fathers who know how to deal properly with our sins. And so we turn to the final man this morning, and that is David. We know many good things about him. Faith at a young age, I'll take on this giant. And he goes against him and wins a victory for God's people. Many conquests with God's help. David achieved victories, but he didn't conquer his own desires. And David, in a time of weakness, lusted after a woman who was a married woman. He committed adultery with her. And then to try to cover it up, he had the man killed. He was guilty of murder. In all of these things, David sinned. But David shows us that great sin can be overcome, and the consequences of those sins can be endured. All sin is certainly serious, but David committed sin of the most serious nature in terms of consequences. And God confronted him in regard to his sin. God sent the prophet Nathan to David, and Nathan told the story that outraged David. He was outraged at himself, and he didn't know it. He was feeling what God felt toward David in David's sin. And when Nathan explained, "You are the man," David did what David should have done and what we all must do. David on that occasion said in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, "I have sinned against the Lord." What God shows us in His Word is that we all sin. Romans 3 and verse 23. But even though in the sixth chapter we learn that the wages of sin is death, we know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, we have hope even though in our weaknesses we sin. Christ has come to this world and taken care of that problem, and we following Him can overcome sin and one day inherit eternal life. We as Christian fathers, already baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, know that God has provided a way for us to deal with our spiritual downfalls when we stumble into sin. 1 John 1 verse 9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fathers need children who see this great quality. We can't be perfect in the sense of being sinless, but we can deal properly with our sins. And dealing properly with our sins is not covering up or hiding from them, but they are instead, like David did, acknowledging them, confessing them. David had to face consequences for his sins. The sword never departed from his house. Several of his sons died. There was grief and there was shame associated with David all of his life. However, David continued as a faithful servant of God. And in his humility, confessing his sins to God, he resumed his walk with God. He was forgiven by God. And we can all show that example to our children. Show them that when we make those inevitable mistakes that we do and we sin against God, that we deal with them in such a fashion as to be open and honest. We may have to apologize to our wives and children, but we will always have to go to God, and we can show them this takes care of the matter. God is pleased. And even though we stumble, we don't give up. We resume this race. We're going to finish it together, and we're going to inherit eternity together and be with God forever. Wonderful lessons that God through His Word gives us through faithful fathers. David shows us we have to be ever on guard against temptation. Satan is always trying to get us. But David also shows that when we sin, a humble and penitent heart will help us to return to our Father. Fathers who follow the Father, our fathers who are a blessing to their families and a blessing to society. And we are thankful for all of our fathers this morning, here and maybe not here, for all of the hard work and sacrifice that they put forth in seeking to lead their families to heaven. The Father in heaven desires the salvation of everyone. And therefore, He has devised a plan, a means by which each and every one of us can be saved. And it's through, as we said earlier, Jesus Christ who made that sacrifice for our sins. And you can become a child of God this very morning by turning to Christ in faith, believing that He is the Son of God, and turning away from a life of sin to a life of holiness, striving to live for God and humbling yourself when you don't, turning back to Him. There's the step of confessing faith in Jesus Christ, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, who believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to then be immersed. You find those examples throughout the book of Acts. People were plunged underneath the water and brought back up out of the water. Why do that? Because God commanded it. It's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we rise from the water to live a new life, a life of hope, a life where God guides us and He shows us the way to heaven, and He helps us to get there through His Word and these wonderful examples. If you need to come home as a wayward child or be baptized in Him today, we can help you to do that as we stand and sing.